right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Hi, you. This is Sister Rose, and welcome to Blog Talk. you know, tonight we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be speaking on a subject on establishing a healthy relationship with persons, I should say, dealing with fear, you know, and the fear of rejection. And almost everyone have dealt with this level of fear of rejection. You know, you people get rejected for different reasons. But there are times when you may look at yourself, you look at your circumstances, and you're just not feeling good about how things are going, how things are progressing in your life. And you look at yourself and you say, I don't feel I'm good enough for this person. I don't feel they will accept me. I don't feel, you know, people have all kinds of reasons why they don't feel good about themselves. And one of the major factors, one of the major reasons why people have a lot of fears, fear is the mother of rejection. Fear, you know, breeds the feeling of rejection. One of the reasons why people tend to deal with this, and fear is a really, when you're dealing with fear, it's a blocker. Fear is a blessing blocker. And I kind of, you know what, let me back up a little bit. I want to back up a little bit and just offer up a little bit of a prayer here, just to give the Heavenly Father his recognition. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for just loving us as a people. You created us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for that you're keeping us alive day by day. Thank you for your wonders. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace and your mercies. And in spite of where you are, listen, in spite of what it may be transpiring in your life, consider yourself blessed and claim your blessing and say, thank you, Father. Thank you very, very much. You know, thank you. And by the way, I say Yahshua, okay? Yahshua is the Hebrew for, and so I say Yahshua, okay? anyway, moving right along with this. Fear, when you're dealing with fear, and I said fear blocks the blessing. And I heard a pastor once made a statement that says fear is the mother of all faulty decisions. Because when you're making decisions in a fear-based mindset, meaning your thoughts are fearful, you can only see what can go wrong. And the more you think of what can go wrong, that is growing. You know, it's like it's just multiplying. It's multiplying of all the things that can go wrong. But one of the things that people bring a lot of fear to is relationships because of the fear of rejection. So you meet people, you want to establish a relationship with them, and you feel they will not have me. They will not have me. Why not? Because of this, because of that, because of all of these different things that you've been telling yourself. And, you know, we're very good at reinforcing fears in ourselves. We're very good at reinforcing our fears because we listen to something. We listen to that fear-based whispering. We listen to that fear-based, and we just say, you know what, if it sounds that way, then it could be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But in your fear-based mindset, you can actually see manifesting as such, okay? Now, when you are a person who desire a relationship or you're trying to get into a relationship, you meet someone and you know someone and you want to be in a relationship with that person, and you're dealing with fear-based mindset. Your mind is fearful. This is what is required to make that relationship fruitful and healthy. The person with whom you are seeking a relationship with, make sure that that person is equipped and able to help you to identify your fear and can help you to grow through it, to walk through it, to disperse of it, to get rid of it, to drop that backpack of fear off somewhere. Okay? Now, I am not talking about establishing a relationship with a psychiatrist, or and in some cases people do need that, but I'm not recommending that. See? I am recommending that you have a doctor upstairs, you have a psychiatrist upstairs, and so you talk to your Heavenly Father frequently in a Kelly Heavenly Father way. Speak your fear, the very thing that you fear. Speak it out to your Father. He knows your heart. He sees it. So speak it out to him and ask him to remove that fear and that blocker that is causing you your peace of mind. Now, this is what you, the fear, this is what you are going to do, okay? It's what you need to do. All right. Now, the person with whom you want to establish a relationship with, now, they have something of a job and a task on their hands. And if they're a loving, kind, and caring person who have purposed themselves to be a healer, because you can be a healer, you don't have to be a doctor to be a healer. You can use your words to heal. You can use your words to heal. And you can use your encouragement, because encouragement, you when you encourage someone, you're using words to encourage that person. And one of the things that you have to, the person, if you are the healer, and when you meet people, you kind of have to look into what their needs are, where they are, and what it is that you can bring to them, because when people come into your path, when you meet people, they're coming for two purposes. There are two reasons. They're there for you to help them. In some case, they help you, because as you're helping them, they're helping you. I don't mean by exchanging things. I don't mean that at all. Things have no, that has nothing to do with this. It has to do with, when you help someone, when you're helping a person, as you help them, you're also growing from that help. You're also growing from that help. When you're lifting someone up, when your purpose in life is to uplift others, feel whole, help them to feel whole, okay? If that is your purpose, if that is your gifting, if that is what your Heavenly Father placed you here for, it can't help but help you. It helps you inside. It helps you with your wisdom. It helps you with a greater understanding. It helps you as to what and who and how you deal with your issues, because everybody have an issue comes to their door sooner or later. The issue is going to show up like a UPS package. And so therefore, as you're helping someone else, you're helping yourself. Now, what you have to do, and based upon a relationship that I established with the Sparrow Kittens, I have a clip, and I hope that you'll access the clip and listen to the clip. Some people are like Sparrow Kittens. And if you've ever dealt with Sparrow Kittens, it's all fear. They're all fear-based. Fear-based because that's how the mother was born in fear. She was fear-based, so her kittens are fear-based, and when they have kittens that they remain loose and feral, they also would be fear-based. They are afraid, okay? Some people are fear-based. They're just like feral kittens. They want to be nurtured. They want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to come inside. However, they are afraid. And their own minds is a torture of this is not for real. If I go into the house, I'll be kicked out. I can't go in the house. I can't, because I will be rejected. Now, where is all of this is coming from? You know, what is coming from? And I look back and I said, you know, oftentimes people bring with them the baggages in from the environment in which they were raised, the baggages from the environment, the learning, the conditioning, they carry it with them, whether they want to or not. It's in the back of their mind, and it's influencing their thought line. It influences how you see yourself, what you see, and it influences you. And if you came from a household that it was conflicted, there was always conflict. There was a lot of drama. There was a lot of deception, the lying, the cheating, the husband stepping out on the wife, the wife, you know, stepping out on the husband, and all these things. If you were unfortunate enough to come from such a background, chances are you have the feral kitten complex. That's what I'm calling it. Okay, the feral kitten is a fair thing, because you were raised into a fear-based household and community, and you were raised into fear. And it's fear is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. You learn to be fearful. So if you came from a household where the father of the house was not a trustworthy person, he was a player, he was a runner, he did all of these things, and you witnessed this as a child, chances are you were impacted by that, your self-esteem. Because we draw, our self-esteem, you know, largely is built upon our parents. How and what, and how our parents behave when we were growing up. We'll watch them. And if we have lousy parents, chances are because they were so lousy, and because they were so deceptive, and the impact of that, you carry that with you. It's not like you're imitating your father, you're replicating your father. You're not doing that, or your mother. You're not doing that. But what you witness as a child, you witness all the fear, you witness all the anger. Because if you have a father or a mother who was not supportive, who was not responsible, who was not honest, who was not reliable, did not exercise patience, all of the things necessary to maintain a healthy, well-balanced household, of course you're impacted. You're right there. This is your home. You know, you're being taught fear. You know, you see the fear in your mother's eyes. You see the fear in your siblings, you know. And it lessens you and it damages you in your own thinking. It doesn't, but in your mind, in your own mind, you're thinking you're less than because of your past experiences, because you learn to fear. It affects your self-esteem to some extent also. And you learn to fear, you don't trust them. That's another side to the fear issue. You have a hard time trusting. Because you didn't see trust, you didn't experience trust in your brain. What you saw was brokenness. What you saw was manipulation. What you saw was lying. What you saw was like a heartache of one parent or the other, or your siblings. So you carry that with you. It has nothing to do with you. That you didn't do it, but you witness that. So you learn mistrust at a very early age, just like the feral kitten. Feral kittens only go the way the mother goes. If the mother runs, they run. If the mother relaxes, they relax. And this is how the kittens grow up. This is when they begin to, you know, have their own kids. This is how they were raised with kids. Fear-based, learned behavior. Now, once, and I had been successful in rescuing feral kittens, brought them into my home, loved them and nurtured them, tamed them up, you know. But it was not a next-day process. It took weeks. It took weeks of establishing a relationship with them, having them come into my porch, feeding them, letting them see I'm safe. Eat the food, come in, eat the food. And gradually they came into the house. I moved the feeding, you know, was further into the house. And they were comfortable coming into the house. I wasn't trying to do anything to them. Or eating, I stood away from them, you know, and they felt relaxed. So this is how you have to deal with people that have a fear base, that fear factor in them, okay? So what you have to do is, again, because I believe in prayer, and I believe that prayer cleanses and purifies, and restore and rebuild. You know, you pray for the person, but at the same time, you are a person that you're dealing with. You make sure that you are honest, you're open, you are transparent, there is no hidden agenda. Just be yourself, be your best self, okay? And the person will begin to observe you as someone that can be trusted. Don't disappoint. Be trustworthy. Because when you're trustworthy, you have a reward. But when you look at yourself, and you can truly say, I'm trustworthy, when you go to bed at night, you're there in your bed by yourself, and you're examining who you are. You are assessing your own self. You're looking at who you are and what you are, and you can honestly say, I'm trustworthy. It's a nice feeling to be that. And trustworthiness is something that you have to want. Is something that you have to develop in yourself. It's something that you have to become, meaning that you have to clean out your own closet in your thought life, in your behavior, in your appetite. You have to clean out your own closet. Always you clean out, take up all the weeds, throw weeds in your garden. And you have to rebuild yourself from the inside out. Okay? You have to become a person who's trustworthy, okay? Because if you have been out in the world, you have done certain things, and you've participated in certain things, and, yeah, you have some contamination. You're contaminated like the rest of us, as you know. But you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to say, listen, I am not my best self. I'm not my best self. So I want to be my best, really, really worth it. It's worth it. It helps my self-esteem. It helps who I am. It helps that I can look in the mirror and I can say, I'm trustworthy and honest. I'm compassionate and caring. I'm patient and reliable. I have patience. I'm reliable. You can look at yourself and say, with honesty, you can say, I'm an honest person. I'm an honest person. I have integrity. And when someone says, I can see that you have your person's integrity. You can receive it because you know that to be the fact. And it's a good thing to know within yourself that you're a person of integrity. It's a good thing to come to that level. That level that you have been getting rid of some things. You've been losing some things. You've been losing some beliefs.
You've been losing some learned behavior. You've been losing some, most of it is learned behavior, some bad behaviors. You've dispersed of those things. Those things are no longer part of you. Those things are no longer part of how you think, how you reason. Those things are not acceptable. Those things are not acceptable. And it's a good feeling. So when you're dealing with someone, and if you have arrived at becoming, or if you already are that person, you've established yourself to be that person, and you're standing firmly in those positive character traits, if that's part of your foundation, if that's part of your core, who you are, your inner you, then the person knows that. The person knows that. And it doesn't matter how fearful that person is. Given time, they will come to understand this is the real deal. This is the real deal. Like I have never known it. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. And when you're dealing with the real deal, you're also helping that person to become less fearful. You are literally, you raise all of those, helping them with your own being, just be. You're helping them to, because the more they relax, the more relaxed the person is with you, the more comfortable that they are with you, and the more they see who you are and what you are, and they start to like, okay, I can relax. I can relax. I'm relaxing. I'm relaxing. You're helping that person to lose the fear. Because when you walk around with fear, you know, you're a wonderful person. You have everything going for yourself. And at the same time, you're missing something. You're missing something. You're not living up to your full potential. You're not enjoying your full package of peace that you have earned. You're earning your peace, and at the same time, you're really not enjoying it because you're still a fear blocker right there. And because you're fearful, again, fear is the mother of all bad decisions. Okay? Fear blocks you, and fear takes your peace. That's what fear does. And I like to say that fear hinders your peace. Because you can't have faith and fear at the same time. Because you can have a lot of faith in your fear, by the way. Let me back this up. You can have a lot of faith in your fear. Okay? But at the same time, it is taking from you, it's stealing from you, taking your joy. You can't relax because you're fearful. You can't do because you're fearful. Yeah. And because you're fearful, in your own head, you're thinking, I'm less than. Yeah, that is simply not so. But that's how you know what I mean? You're diminishing your own self in your own head. You do that as well, because fear will do that to you. So, again, the person who you're friends with, a person who's your mate, whatever relationship that you're having with another person, you want to have an harmonious relationship, because this is what we all crave. We all want to have harmonious business relationships where people just understand you, where you walk in, and you don't understand what they're saying, you don't have to spend hours dissecting, for hours without a meaning. The meaning, what does it mean? And no, can I trust? No, you don't have to do that. If the person said it, that's what he said. Stop. Leave it alone. And you relax. You relax. You know what I mean? I always say when you walk into a stranger's home, and I don't like to eat in strange people's homes at all. I really don't like to do that. But if you know something of them, you know something of them, and you know their personal habits, you know their hygiene and their dietary habits, all of those things, and bring you some something to eat, chances are you will relax and eat because you know something of that. You know, because you're compatible, you're in the same understanding as to how imperative to eat good, clean food and all those things, so you can eat from that person. But with the same thing like relationship and you're dealing with someone that has their issues, that you're actually, you have to see, I don't want to say the person is a project, because then that's like self-serving. It's not a project. But if the relationship really means a lot to you, if the relationship really, really means a lot to you, then you put the effort out. Because as a person with fair issues will not just get up overnight and begin to trust. No. It's not going to happen. It's almost the same process that it took for to trust me to come into my home, finally meet it upstairs to live upstairs, and just be a part of my household. It was not an overnight process at all. It took a while. But you, the person, have to be patient when you meet someone with fear issues. You have to be extremely patient. You have to be patient. Because there will be time because of their own fear when they're doing the reverse of rejecting you because they're afraid to get too close to you. Because they feel like if I get too close to them, then, you know, they could lower the boom on me. And I realize that, oh, my God, it wasn't for real, and now I'm hurt. So each time they take a, they want to come, but they're back and forth. They can't come in. But give it time, because this is a slow process. It's not a next day process. Give it time as they get to know you and realize I'm not dealing with the personality here. I'm dealing with one person, a balanced person. Especially an issue that I'm important to them, meaning that the trust. The trust. We need to give it a trust. The patience. And you have to be high of compassion in dealing with a person dealing with fear issues. Say, well, you should have gotten over this by now. You should have been able to trust me by now. Yeah, it's a process. And oftentimes when a person pulls away, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with their own fear. It has to do with their own fear. It has nothing to do with you. So once you come to understand that, all you have to do is relax, give them some room, and now you come to understand, okay, I was wrong. I overreacted. My own thought, fear-based thought, was really responsible for my decision to step back. So now that I understand that, I can go forward again. And it could be a back and forth for a while, for someone comfortable. I feel like I don't have to look over my shoulder. I feel when I'm in your presence that I don't have to think if you say this or say that. There is a double meaning. You're trying to do something. You don't have to question, you know, what are your motives? You know? Situation, you're dealing with people, and you have to keep questioning what is their motive, what is it that they want, what are they trying to do. This is how a lot of us were raised into broken homes, broken situations where you didn't see a lot of trust. How do I say something here? I was fortunate to be raised partially some years of my grandmother. And they didn't call it Depression Rest in Peace. Because she did something really wonderful. She left a legacy in Christ. She left a legacy that I have often drawn on. I have to go back to it over and over again. Because she was such a sweet, loving, kind person. She was such an honest person, patient. And I have never heard her speak against a person, no one. I have never heard her raise her voice. I have never seen her in conflict with anyone. She got along with everyone. She was extremely kind and caring. I've never heard her accuse anyone of doing something they're supposed to do. Around her home was like healing place. She was peace. When you're around her, you could not help but feel peace and ease. So I did spend some years with her, and that was where I developed this feeling. Maybe it's a genetic thing because I'm a very caring person. Part of that was her attitude towards things and people. You know, she was a giver. She gave. She encourages people. She encourages people. There were times when I'm pretty sure she was in the back of her for this other kind of nature. But at the same time, she was taken advantage. Not too many people did because she was one of them. I would not say she was a douchey. She may have loaned money to people that could return it in this is a death or whatever. And that's not even someone trying to exploit. But she was a kind person that I spent my first 4 or 5 years with her. Because of her love for me, because of her attitude towards people. So I got that sense of safety. I got that sense that people can be good. That's where we're going with this. People can be good. People can be good. They're good people. That first 5 or 6 years with someone who is genuinely good and counting out goodness in me also. Not all of everybody has been, you know, a lot of people have been fortunate enough to have experienced that. Especially in their early childhood where, you know, a husband is running around or the wife is doing whatever and there's this conflict and broken. And you can see where when I'm broke, I just can't trust the baby. My mom can't trust my dad, my dad can't trust my mom. And you just see that, you know. Which one of the things that people, what happens to people? When you are dealing with fear and mistrust, you're going to attract the wrong people. Oftentimes, yes, you do. You attract the wrong people, and they don't disappoint you. They will not disappoint you when it comes to being untrustworthy. They know that you're broken. They know that there is something there that you're dealing with. They will not disappoint you. They will live up to the expectations of being unreliable. So you come to feel like, oh boy, this is how the world is. Everybody's unreliable. You can't trust anybody. You can't trust anybody. You try to trust and you got bit. You try to trust it. You can't help it. But if you're fortunate enough to stumble upon, meet upon the Heavenly Father that have gifted you with good people in your life, and good people is a gift straight from the Heavenly Father, because when you meet genuinely good people, it's coming from above. It's a divine appointment. So when you are gifted with good people, are a good person. And there will be good people in different parts of your life for different reasons. You could have good people at work. You could have good people in your personal relationship. You could have good people in your family. You could have good people into your, even at the gym. You can tell if it is really good person at the gym. Everyone is not for everything, you know. So once you identify a person entering your life, who is this person? What is this person about? Why have you placed this person into my life? And we enter into each other's life for a purpose. I have something to give you. I have something to give you. What? It has nothing to do with my motherhood. It has nothing to do with my material things. It has something that I can impart in you. I can give you something that can help to enrich and better your life. You, on the other hand, have something that can help my life. It doesn't matter how much we have. There's always something that another person can help to your life, to have a special, always has a special flavor to your life. You know, it's like you're baking a cake and you have all of the necessary condiments. It's all there. And you're baking and stirring and everything. But there's just a one little thing to bring it all together. People can be that flavor that Heaven's Father would bring to your life. But that's what He brings to your life. We all perfect. Flavor is an exchange. You're flavoring your life, but you're helping to flavor their life as well. Okay? And so you have to embark on your relationships of people as a gift from a father, not to be abused, at all. To be appreciated. We need to appreciate the people that are in their lives. And we need to ask the Heavenly Father, okay, so you bring this person into my life. Whatever for. Yeah. You have it. And that person can help you with your need. And same thing that I have to say. I have met a lot of people in my life. And when I meet the people, I'm looking at them like, what do they need from me? That's how I deal with people. When I meet people, I'm beginning to look at them. And say, what can I do for you? What do you need from me? Why did I meet you? Because everything happens for a purpose. Everything is by divine purpose, okay? And when I meet people, I'm looking for the most to place you in my path. For a reason, what it is I can do for you. And then when you get to know the person, you can identify what you can do for them. Okay? Sometimes they don't even know what you can do for them. But when you get to know them, the relationship progress is meaning that you're knowing that person. Because in order to help a person, you have to know them. You have to know them. To a point, you have to know something of them. And as you know that thing of them, maybe I can help you with it. I see where I understand why our path is crossed. I understand I have something that I give to you that you need to better you. Okay? My father would say, well, if you look a little closer, maybe that person can better you as well. So you don't have everything. You're not all that. And so here you have, the perfect balance. Unfortunately, in life we meet people, and depending on where you are morally, we meet people, and it's about things. What can you give me? What do you have to give me? Part of that want is to be into the same mindset. It's not about things. It's about spiritual impartation. Yes, I said it. I read it. It's about spiritual impartation because in order for you to help someone, you have to be a spiritual person. You have to be a spiritual person. And you have to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father in order to help a person effectively, in order to help a person to come from A to B. You have to be a spiritual person. You have to pray a lot. You have to seek counsel and the guidance from Heavenly Father. No matter how many books you're going to read, it doesn't matter how many talk shows you're going to listen to, it doesn't matter how many tapes and videos and what you're going to watch, the best source of information and instructions is coming straight from the Heavenly Father. Because Heavenly Father can only, E alone can open up your eyes and your ears and your understanding and your wisdom and everything to see what the other person needs are. Okay? You cannot see that this is to that. And if you sit with your naked eyes, you will take the approach of many other people, like, oh man, this is a damaged goods. I don't have time for this. I don't, this person's too fearful, man. I don't have time for this. I'm not going to deal with all that fear. Oh, no, I don't like all the fear base. I can't even deal with that. I want my people to be ready. I want my people to come ready, just packing ready. No flaws. Everything is flowing seamlessly. Unfortunately, that's not reality. Okay. Everybody has something out of place. Everybody needs something. Again, let me correct you. I'm not talking about material things now. I'm talking about impartation. And you don't have to be, by the way, you don't have to be a holy roller. You don't have to be going to church and dancing up and down, you know, the pews with the big hats flopping around and everything. You don't have to be that. You just have to be a spiritual person, a person who yearns, who have established a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and a person who's willing to submit to the Holy Spirit. If you do not have a submissive spirit, you can't be helped. You can't be helped. You can't help anybody. Because if you're just going by what you feel, I have a gumption, I have a feeling in my gut. If you just have a feeling in your gut, that's all you got. Okay? But you have to have a feeling. You have to have discernment. You have to have the wisdom. You have to get instructions from the Heavenly Father. And if you're not getting instructions from the Heavenly Father, then all you're having is just a feeling. You just have a feeling. Now, callers, give me a holler. You see my number up there. Give me a call, and let's keep the dialogue open. Let's chat some more, okay? I want to hear from you. But because I like knowing that, you know, we are in a mission to better each other. I'm not trying to better you because you're bettering me. It's an exchange of bettering each other. That's the only way I can phrase it. It's like I'm imparting in you, you're imparting in me. You know? And also, as my journey continues, and I've always wanted to help people, I need to help people, and I just like to start using me to impart encouragement into people and some little guidance here and there. You know, as I'm doing that, it's helping me too. I'm able to peek into my window, I'm able to see some things that are that okay. It's like you're looking to your own thought life. You're looking to the wind, to the walls of your own thought life. It's like, I need a paint job. Change. You're taller, you need to have less, or you need to have more of some things in your thought life. Some things are just obsolete. Those thoughts, those actions, those behaviors, those understandings, the rationale, that was like a million years ago. It doesn't work now. It doesn't work with the new you. It doesn't work with the new you, by the way. That's what that means. It's like you purchase a new home, and it's a beautiful home, and you call the mover, and they're trying to move it to the home with all the raggedy, dirty, old furniture. That's something that if anything was moving to that house, not into space, put in cardboard boxes or milk crates or whatever you have to do. But, you know, you just move into a beautiful home and you bring all of that tacky stuff with you. Now, that was yesterday. As you develop your new self, because you have to change. We have to change. We can't stay stuck. But as you change to develop your new self, you have to discard things. You have to discard old beliefs, old way of thinking. You have to discard things so you can go forward. And callers, I don't see my board lighting up. I don't see people calling me. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because I've been away from Blog Talk for a while. I've been gone for a minute, sabbatical, and I'm back. And I chose this topic tonight because I know what it felt like to be fearful. I know personally what it felt like to fear people. I felt, because I think that happened also, if you've been dealing with people that are wicked, you just feel like everybody's wicked. It's like it doesn't matter where you go, you bump into wickedness, and you have wickedness in there. So you meet new people, and they're not. It's really nice. But in you're thinking, no, they're just acting nice. I'm a suspicious, I'm highly suspicious as far as that. I don't think they're all that nice, you know, but it's that they are. So anyway, callers, please give me a holler. Call me. And I am moving into, and I have another hour and 15 minutes. And you're saying, Sister Rose? For those of you who have listened to any of my shows, and you know I can talk. You know, I can have a chat, you know. And I get excited when I know that I have something that can help other people. You know, I get excited when I find something that I can help other people, when I can tell them, relax, help is on the way. They haven't started on the way. He wants to help you. He wants to place people into your path to help you. And if you people, when the next person that you meet, before you dismiss them, find out how you can help them. Find out what it is that they need. Exactly what they need. Okay. Hi, I'm back. I had the strangest thing happen. I just got disconnected in the middle of this. So I don't know what happened, but it happened. These things happen. And I apologize.
I didn't do a thing, but I was disconnected somehow by accident, okay? So now, you know, I'm still speaking on the subject of dealing with people that have fear, and people that make decisions, fear-based decisions, and how we have to understand the motives. We have to understand why they do what they do and how we can help them to grow from that, how we can help them to realize that they're why it, you know, kind of we have to show them, explain to them in a way, in a nice way, without being, you know, like a you don't want to be a psychiatrist in your relationship, but you want to just be yourself. If you be yourself and you allow the person to relax, they will come to understand. And they will come to understand that I am actually dealing with a person that I can let my guards down with. I can trust this person. I don't have to walk around with this level of mistrust. If this person is trustworthy. You know, it's me. When I meet people that I can trust, when I meet people, that when I'm dealing with people and I can just put my pocketbook down, and this may sound, you know, simplistic when it's because one thing to put your pocketbook down, another thing is an emotional thing and all of that. But when you can just put your things down, you can just be yourself. You can just know that when they say something, it's facts. You know, it's factual. You don't have to go and analyze it. You don't have to go and look it up. You don't have to go and dissect every word, every expression, every facial expression, every gesture. Like, what did that mean? What did this mean? You don't have to do that because you trust that person. And it's a nice feeling. To me, you know, one of the most important things that I like in a relationship with people is the fact that I can trust them. If I can trust you, if you give me feeling, if you give me reason, sorry, to develop mistrust for you, I really can't deal with you. You know, and I really can't deal with him. Now, there are different levels of trust. Because when you're dealing with new people, and if they're cautious, they may be bringing on board some of their learned behavior. They may be bringing a lot of that, even though they're scared of you, they're scared to come in. They're hiding it. Because they're hiding it, they're not being as honest with you as you would like them to be. But if you understand, once you get behind that, you understand, I understand where you are, I understand that your decisions are based upon fear. Fear of me, fear of letting your guard down, fear of trusting, fear, fear, fear. Then you have something to work with. And I mean something to work with. I mean, begin to understand on a whole different level. Begin to understand a whole different level. When you can begin to relax about certain behavior, you begin to relax about certain expectations or lack of certain, there will be some lacks. There will be some issues. When you're dealing with people that have fears like that, there would be some missing. But as they get to know you, and get to that level of trust has been established, then you will find that they are trusting more and more and more. And as they're trusting you more and more, their behavior toward you will change as well. Their behavior toward you will change as well. And yours will change as well. Isn't it nice, harmonious, seamless? But once again, to have that level of trust, to have a kind of relationship, to accept a kind of relationship, it takes a heaven slaughter. Mankind on its own can't do it. You know, it doesn't matter how I want someone to trust me or someone wants me to trust them, because it goes both ways. If I'm just dealing with, you know, well, I want you to trust me. You better trust me. And they're saying, well, you better trust me, or else you better trust me. No, you better talk to the Father and say, I need intervention. I need your help. I need you to smooth the rough places in this person's heart out. I need you to remove the barriers. I need you to tear down and do away with. I need to demolish the barriers of mistrust. You know, it's almost like you have to take a dynamite to a building, a whole building you need gone. And only the Amazon can do that. You know, it's only the Amazon can do that. And isn't it kind of nice, though, like, when you pray for something, and it happens. It shows up in your life. It happens. Something happens by prayer, you know? And so you know that when you pray, things happen. When you open your mouth and you have a conversation with your Heavenly Father, you know, it's a really nice feeling to know that you can come to your Father and you can speak to Him. And eventually you're saying, you know, Daddy, I have this issue and I need your help. Daddy, I maxed the credit card out and I need your help. Get me out of this trouble. And you're having a thought is saying, okay, I know you're a good person, but I know that you have this little habit of spending too much, so I'm going to help you out. And it's the same kind of relationship that you have with Heaven of Father. You speak to Him about everything. Now, a biological father may answer you a lot quicker, or not. But when the father answers, it's final. It's final, and it's the right thing. There is no mis. There is when something comes from the father. When something comes from the Father, and when it's flowing from the Father to you, to another person, it could be success. There's no misunderstanding. You know, it's coming straight from the Father. That connection is coming, boom, straight in a straight line. You know what I mean? You take it. You're the messenger. You take it, and you impart it to somebody. And you don't pat yourself on the head like, oh, I'm so smart. No, you're not that smart. The Father gave it to you. And you have to give thanks and praise to the Father for entrusting you with what He's given you. It's a gift. And you ask Him and you thank Him. Okay? And then you also thank the Heavenly Father for placing this person into your path. Sometimes you can have different people that you're dealing with that are dealing with the same issue. You know, some people can get over their issues a lot faster. Some people, it's a journey. One day at a time. One foot before the other, you know? So when you cannot complete this journey. Your journey will not be successful. Whatever it is that you're embarking in, it will not be successful unless the Heavenly Father is in the center of this. Unless you're using the blueprint. Unless you're relying on the Heavenly Father, you know. Sometimes I go through things and I pray about it. And because I have a right now personality, I have a right now, yes, this minute personality. And I get impatient sometimes because I want to have my answer. But because the Heavenly Father does things in order, he's very orderly, in proper way. Everything has to be precise. Everything has to be lined up accordingly. So I may want to do something tomorrow morning. I got to get it done. And you say, no, I don't want you doing it for another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Yes, you will. Because in my timing, when all of the pieces are met, when all the pieces meet together, okay, the integrity of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, firmly set, no breaches, firmly set, and it will be successful, totally successful. So you have to say thank you, Father. And Claudia, I do thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. And please come back. And I have a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, so please come back and join me. Thank you for having me. Have a blessed night.